This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hey everybody, Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on KFKA.
Spencer Smith joining us, talking a little, well, I told him we wouldn't talk Rockies, but Spencer, it was one of those games that the end result really sucked for the Rockies, but that was also one of the more incredible plays of the season by Colton Cowser last night to steal the walk-off home run from Jake McCarthy, man. I had mixed emotions, to be honest, because it was a spectacular play.
Yeah, considering the circumstances, that may be, with the game on the line, their playoff hopes on the line, the situation, that may be one of the best catches of all time. Like, that was, it was unbelievable. And to be honest, I watched the start of the game. I went to bed. I watched it from my bed. And after the eighth inning, I was like, okay, I know how this is going to end. I woke up after the game was over, didn't see the video, but just saw on my phone that they had lost 2-1. I was like, yeah, I figured. And then when I woke up this morning, the first 10 tweets on my feed were all that same variation or a different variation of that same catch. And I've never been so distraught at 5 a.m. in my life.
Oh, such a long rain delay, too. I was an idiot and stayed up and watched this thing because I was holding out hope, Spencer, that they'd pull it off. And then I see Jake McCarthy send it to the moon, it looked like. And then I didn't even see Cowser. I didn't even see him catch it. I just saw him come down to the ground. And he's, like, cheering, and he's, like, fist pumping. I'm like, oh, crap, he got that thing.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, I don't know if there's an actual stat for this, but a 425-foot hit that turns into a game-ending out might never have been achieved in the MLB history and might never again.
What was amazing to me is he's tracking the ball, but as he goes to jump up in the air, he's not looking at the ball anymore. He just placed his glove perfectly from where he thought the ball was going to go. And he's like got his legs spread out. He's got his hands straight up in the air. I mean, again, it sucked to see the Rockies lose like that, but I could not help but just marvel.
Yeah, it's just one of those where, you know, there was some angry people regarding Jake McCarthy's reaction to the whole thing. And, you know, much like the 2025 season, it hasn't felt quite that bad this year, but you just kind of laugh. You're like, this, the things that have happened to the Rockies in the past 2 weeks especially, I mean, they don't put this stuff in Disney movies, man.
No.
You just cannot write this script.
No, and so what were people like, mad with Jake McCarthy? Because I was feeling the same way. I seriously was just like, oh my gosh, really? What a play. That's what it takes. I kind of felt for McCarthy at that point. You know, it's just, what can you do other than just kind of say, dude, hell of a play.
Yeah, and I think that's what people were mad with McCarthy, because he was kind of like the same as you, just kind of almost in awe, kind of laughing like, you got to be kidding me type of scenario. And people are like, if I saw anyone my team laughing if they lost like this,
oh,
I'd be livid and blah, blah. I'm like, dude, the guy just made one of the most crazy athletic feats we've seen in baseball in years. To win his team a game, you can't really, like, what are you going to do, throw your bat? I mean, the guy made a play.
Yeah, now he made a play, and unfortunately it was the 86th loss for the Rockies. One of those infuriating losses, no doubt, Spencer. I'm sure that fits the bill.
Yes, it absolutely did. And ironically, I actually fired the tweet off early because I felt like they were going to lose in the eighth, so I fired it off early and didn't add it as an infuriating loss, but I will retroactively add it tonight after the game is over and I do my recap tweet.
Oh, man. Where are we at with this Rockies team, man? I mean, like you said, it's not as bad as last year, but especially the last couple of weeks, it's starting to feel a little bit like that.
Yeah, you know, right now I think it's about one of the positives we kind of talked about today on the show is, like, Mason Adams has come up from AAA, and granted, he's still kind of recovering from Tommy John surgery, so he's not going to be able to go full at it and pitch more than about 80 to 90 pitches in his starts. But he was a part of the trade, the Brenton Doyle trade, and he's been a decent starter. Mark Manfredi and Nick Frosso out of the bullpen have been pretty decent as well. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm looking for the rest of the season. I hope Zach Veen gets some at-bats here in September. I've kind of given up on the whole idea of them winning 63 games and not losing 100. They would have to go 11-13 over the final 24, which wouldn't seem that insurmountable because they have 15 of those 24 games at Coors Field. But considering they've lost now 10 in a row at Coors Field, which is a franchise record, I don't feel as good about their chances here at home when before that 10-game losing streak, they were basically a 500 team at home. So you never knew what you were going to get. They had a before the 10-game losing streak, they had swept the Royals at home. You were feeling kind of good about where they were at. I think the 63 games and not losing 100 is out the window, but I still have my over bet on 52.5. They've now been sitting on for 5 days, and I tweeted it out the day that they got the 52nd win. I said, today is the day, and they haven't won since then. So this is all my fault.
It's hard to blame you on that, Spencer. I mean, yes, tweeting it, but you got to get there, man. You're at 52. They're not going to lose every game.
If they lose 29 straight to end the season, I don't think I will be a part of anything anymore. I might just disappear forever.
Well, I don't think it's going to come to that. I really don't. But, you know, the games like that, it really makes it tough. Warren Schaefer's catching a lot of strays these days. Where are you at on the manager of this ball club right now?
You know, I actually was kind of thinking about my stance on this the last couple of days. And I even asked some of my friend Christian, my co-host, and some other friends that I talk Rockies with a lot, am I too biased towards Warren Schaefer? Because obviously, you know, I've gotten to have meetings with him behind closed doors and knew him before he was even the full-time manager. And then now when he got the interim job and just what a tough spot he was put in 2025 and now had a full off season with an entirely new front office to work with and figure out what players they wanted to keep, how they wanted to go about running this organization moving forward. And so I am a little bit biased towards him. There's a lot of decisions that have been made where I can't necessarily defend them, but they are very matchup based. And so, you know, a couple of the things that people are angry about, Zach Veen not getting enough at bats. Well, the Rockies have faced a lot of lefties lately. And even in the at bats that Zach Veen has, being put in a semi-tough spot, pinch hitting late, he's looked extremely overmatched, especially against lefties. And Jordan Beck, for all his downfalls, is still a 300 hitter against left-handed pitching. So there's some things out there where they're just kind of in to the matchups each day, and they are really trying to win every baseball game. And I know that sounds hilarious to say about a major league team, but some people are like, oh, they're not trying to win, they're trying to tank or this or that. And like, I truly believe they are trying to win every single baseball game, and sometimes they just don't have the horses and they don't have the guys. And you know, a lot of these last couple of games, they finally get some good pitching Saturday, Sunday, and last night, and the offense goes completely dormant. And then you have games where the offense scores 7 runs and the pitching allows 8. So they're not a complimentary baseball team by any means right now. So the month of September will be interesting. I don't think there's going to be any crazy call-ups. I don't think we're going to see Charlie Condon this year with the lockout looming and the potential that if he stays on the roster down in Albuquerque, he can go to training camp next year and kind of start his season in the minor leagues and not miss a ton of baseball. So I don't think we're going to get any exciting call-ups here in September. There's an outside shot at the 63 wins, but I think what we look to see is just, can we continue to get another good month from, can Jake McCarthy be as good as he's been most of the season and had a really good season with the Rockies? You know, their pitching staff right now with Kyle Freeland on the IL plus, you know, releasing Michael Lorenzen every 5 days, other than Tomoyuki Shigano, who's obviously been pretty good. He's had a kind of run into a little bit of a wall here these last couple weeks, but you've got Gabe Hughes, you've got Mason Adams, you've got Ryan Feltner. So you're seeing some guys start every fifth day that actually may be a part of your ball club moving forward. So some positive signs in September will be nice going into next year, which who knows when next year will actually start. But I do think there are some positives to look out for and some potential, not necessarily franchise changing, but some guys that are really looking to solidify their spot going into next year and the future for the Colorado Rockies when they anticipate potentially being competitive again.
We just flipped the calendar over to September. If I would have said at the beginning of the season, hey, they're going to be 52-86 by September 1st, What would you have said at that point? If that's what we're saying their record would be, would you have said, okay, man, more of a positive season, or are you more of the same?
Are you? I know you were on your radio show, but were you watching our Rocky show today? Because I actually asked my co-host Christian the exact same question.
I think we've just gotten to know each other so well now, Spencer. I know how to set you up now at this point. But yes, I do watch.
Yeah, I honestly, I think I would have taken it, man. I think it's like, are you a golfer, Brady?
No, I'm terrible. Terrible. Very bad.
But you'll go out.
And yeah, play. I went last week. Yeah.
Okay, so I relate this season right now in my golf brain to the Rockies are a few over par, right? They're not as good as we had hoped they'd be, but they're much better. They're doing pretty good for what their normal score is. But the last three holes, they've made double bogey, double bogey, double bogey. So right now in this moment, it feels pretty bad. But if you would have told me they had 9 more wins than all of last year with a full month to play, I would have said that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
I still believe that that's the case as much as the gut punch losses of the last 3 days have felt and the kind of after that 5-4 road trip in mid-August, they've been on a basically downward spiral since then. I think they've lost 12 of 14 games with a random 2-game winning streak there in the middle. So it feels really bad in this moment, but I would say the overall outlook on the season, if I can take my emotion out of it a little bit, they're definitely on the right track or on a different track than they have been in the past. It just doesn't feel like it because they're still going to lose 100 games.
Yeah, and it's so hard too with the lockout coming up because it's hard to look at and go, okay, they're building on something. Well, how long will this lockout be and how much does that stunt the growth of what we have seen? Because there has been growth, but how much will that lockout really impact a team like the Rockies that are trying to just kind of figure things out?
Especially with the amount of young pitchers that they have, and you figure going in the next season, they might have opening day 4 or 5 pitchers on their opening day roster in their rotation, so maybe all of them, that have less than 2 years of full MLB service time. So how badly does it hurt a team like that that is going to invest a lot into young guys that haven't had a ton of experience without a spring training or with abbreviated spring training and less off-season work with their coaches, depending upon how the CBA works out and how much they can, get with their team and learn the strategies of the team and continue to build on their careers. So it's very nerve-wracking for a team in the Rockies light right now to think about what it's going to look like if there is no spring training and there's an abbreviated season next year, because like you said, they have built. They have, it's maybe one little brick here or there that they've built this year, but they are on a different path than the prior Rockies teams have been, and here for the climb, man. That is the team motto, and it's not going to be a short climb. This is a full 14er. For those of you out in Colorado that like to go climb your 14ers, this is a full maybe 15 or 16er that they're going to have to climb. But they are taking steps in the right direction to do that. It's just a little nerve-wracking considering the younger players that they're hopefully counting on and losing some baseball out of that.
Yeah, no question, man. It's certainly been a better season, but lately it's kind of been we felt a little more negative about this team. We'll see. Spencer, always appreciate it, man. You do a wonderful job. And even good, bad, or ugly, love talking Rockies with you, bro.
Thank you, Brady. I appreciate it. By the way, my favorite color, which you probably talked about, is green.
Green?
Yes.
Okay. I text Spencer. I said, you good for today? He's like, do we have to talk Rockies? I said, we could talk about your favorite color. So I did promise that. So Spencer, hold me to that. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Brady. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, my man. Sounds good. Mike, what's your favorite color?
Should be obvious.
Black?
Orange.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. But
I am wearing a Broncos shirt.
Why not blue?
Because orange is better.
You go orange over the blue? I thought for sure black because you're like brooding and stuff and all that. So
no, I also like red, but there are a lot of things that are red that I don't care for.
I don't want to follow up.
Well, I was just going to say a lot of the sports teams that I hate, the Chiefs, the Red Wings, Nebraska, they all have red on their uniforms.
You're a very interesting person, Mike. You're a very interesting person. Sean Keeler writing in his article yesterday about the Avalanche. It says, Avalanche, Cale Makar won't win another Stanley Cup until Joe Sakic finds more Logan O'Connors. Sakic's Avs have a bunch of contracts coming off the books in 28 and 29. The Avs are going to need to get younger and cheaper around that core of Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, and Martin Natchez. I mean, yeah, that's part of what the Nuggets have ran into. Not to the level of the Avalanche. The Avs have those three guys are really good and still in their prime at this point. The Nuggets' big money guys are, other than Joker, are they have question marks stamped over the top of them.
The most expensive question marks in the history of mankind.
Pretty close. The Avalanche say that their Stanley Cup window is open for the length of Cale Makar's new 8-year, $163.2 million contract extension. Well, it's hard to argue that. I think even with how the last couple seasons have ended for the Avs, I still very much feel like the Avs are in a championship window. That window is wide open, I feel like.
At least for 4 years.
Yeah. Obviously, you'll see what, you know, whenever like Nathan MacKinnon's contract comes up. You know, he's got those guys locked. He's got him locked up, though. Even if the NHL salary cap keeps moving up, he's going to have 39, according to Keeler, he's going to have 39.2% of his available spending for 27-28 locked up in just three players, Makar, MacKinnon, and Martin Natchez. I mean, yeah, there's a chance that they start running into very similar problems that the Nuggets are going through. You are banking on those three guys just carrying an organization.
Why?
But they've been very good about finding those guys that we're not talking about and making them big pieces of the team.
I wonder why this is happening. Oh, it's the same ownership.
Yeah, but the Avs have done...
The Avs have done better.
The Avs have done better.
They both
better.
Have one in their window. They both have one championship.
That's true at the end of the day, but don't you always feel better about the Avs' chances?
Yeah.
Year in and year out than the Nuggets, even when the Nuggets won their title.
I mean, with the Nuggets, it feels like Jokic and... It feels like a John Elway situation where it's like Jokic and a bunch of interns.
I mean, Jamal Murray is not... I wouldn't go... I've said before that he can be Kobe Bryant one night. He can be just a dude other nights. And people get really frustrated with that. Like, when I say a player is just a guy, I don't mean he's you or me. I say he's just an average player that's good enough to play in the NBA. And maybe that's a little too low for Jamal, but the Avs have done it in a way where they've paid their big money guys. Now they paid Cale Makar, but they found enough of a supporting cast that become like household names. They come to Colorado and they play well, and the Avs go, you know, into the second round or whatever, and then they walk away with a contract somewhere else. The Nuggets haven't done that, really. I mean, aside from Peyton Watson. They don't have a lot of guys that they've groomed and got them to the point where, oh, this guy's really good and he's helping us. Now, they did after the championship thing, and Bruce Brown went out and got paid. KCP, who was actually a really good player before he came to Denver, but still, you get the title and another title, and that makes him a kind of a bigger name, but the Nuggets don't have a ton of that, where it's like, hey, come to Denver as a young player and roll with this team, go deep into the playoffs, and then by the end of it, you're going to walk out with a signed contract somewhere. The Nuggets don't really have that.
Well, that's a problem with the NBA, though. Like, in the NHL, anybody can be really good, but the NBA, you got to work harder for Denver because there's no prestige in Denver.
Well, you're not getting the big names coming here on a regular basis, I guess. I think the Avalanche, I mean, would you agree, the Avalanche have one of the better reputations in hockey right now of being a really good team.
They left Canada and then won a championship. And then a couple years later,
won a championship.
I'm
not even talking about that. I'm talking about like the last 10 years. The Avs
last 10 years.
Ask a random NHL fan that's not a fan of the Avalanche and say, hey, what do you think of the Avs? Man, that's a juggernaut. That's what they'll say.
They'll say that's a juggernaut. They should have more championships.
Yes, but still, that's still a juggernaut. I think if you ask a random NHL fan, hey, do the Avs have a good chance to win a Stanley Cup next year? Yeah. I think if you ask a random NBA fan, they're going to say it's Joker or bust. It's Joker and everything else. They do not have a realistic chance to win a championship next year. That's what I think an average NBA fan would say as opposed to an average NHL fan about the Avalanche. So we'll see. Keeler will be on with us tomorrow, 12:42 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.